Okay, so we are holding on Chaf Vav Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We started a discussion on the question. The Mishnah had told us that when you're burning the chametz, you're not allowed to at the same time be using the chametz to fire up a stove or an oven in order to be able to bake bread or whatever. So that led us into the beginning of a general discussion about if you use Isurei Hana to fire up an oven. So we had one Braisa saying that Rebbe said, so we had one Braisa saying that if it's a new oven, then you would have to break the oven because then you accomplished, you now made it into an oven because it needs that first time that's fired up in order to harden it. So then you'd have to destroy the oven. If it's an old oven and it's already been fired up before, then you just need to cool it off in order to get rid of any advantage that you would have from these Isurei Hana. Yesterday's my mom and pain. Okay. On the other hand, then the Braisa continued. What happened if you did bake bread in an oven that was fired up with Isurei Hana like that? Then Rebbe says the bread is also the chamseit mutter. So now, so the Gemara had asked. Then on the other hand, we have another Braisa that says you never have to break the oven, even if it's a new oven. All you have to do is cool it off. And we said the difference. So first we tried to say that it's Rebbe versus the Rabbanan, the same Rebbe who says that the bread would be also would also say the oven is also. Whereas the Chachamim who say that the bread is mutter, as we're going to see, the Chachamim who say that the bread is going to be mutter, would say that the oven is going to be mutter. But we said the problem with that is even Rebbe is not saying that it's also on the ground. Now, you have something called Zevzeg Gerdim, when you have two factors that contribute to make something. One of them is also, one of them is mutter. In this case, you would say, for example, that the oven is one Gerdim. The wood, the firewood is another. So if let's say you have an oven which itself is mutter, and then you use shells of Orlo or whatever, which are also is Zevzeg Gerdim, so fine. When it comes to the bread, we would say in the bread itself, you have the actual wood, when it was still wood, was used in order to make the bread. Because the Chachamim would say that each part of the wood that's making it into bread is only doing so after it's burnt, and therefore it should be mutter. Whereas Rebbe would be saying, yes, Shevach Eitzim B'pas. Since, as the Gemara is going to point out later on, we're talking about where there's an actual visible flame in the oven the whole time, and that's what's baking the bread, rather than just, for example, just the heat in the oven or something. The point is, we still wouldn't say, even according to Rebbe, that Zevzeg Gerdim should be usur, and therefore that the oven itself, that the oven itself should be usur, or actually what we would say is, so that's the thing. So when it comes to the oven, even fine, it was a new oven. There's shvach eitzim boy, but you're not eating the oven itself. You're only using it for other things. So therefore, you have later on when you bake bread in it. If let's say you use this oven that became usur, if you use this oven that was first fired up with klipa orla, later on you use regular firewood in it, you're gonna have zevzeg gerdim. It should be mutter. So why should we have to break the oven? Even Rebbe shouldn't tell us you have to break the oven. Maximum, he should be saying the bread itself, if you use klipa orla, should be also because yes, shevach eitzim b'pas. But not to go so far as to say that you should have to break the oven, which is also going to be a big hefsid, and therefore it should be considered like b'dieved. So we have to find somebody who would say Zevzeg Gerdim is usur, and then that would be who the first Braisa would go like. So we said the answer is that would be Rabbi Eliezer. So now we have to figure out, this is where we're up to, hey Rabbi Eliezer, which statement of Rabbi Eliezer do we see where he holds that Zevzeg Gerdim is usur? Elam Rabbi Eliezer is disur. Are you going to say that it's the din that Rabbi Eliezer says regarding sourdough? If you have a piece of sourdough of cholin and another one of truma that fell into a batch of dough, neither one by itself would be large enough to make the whole larger batch of dough into chometz bread. I mean, it would make the chometz to the extent that it's also on Pesach, but not to the extent that it would be able to ferment the bread to be able to make it rise enough to be considered normal bread. So neither one by itself is enough for that purpose. You need a certain size piece of sourdough, and here you don't have it. but the combination of them together makes it chametz. So what is the din? Now, we're not even talking about, let's say there's enough cholin to be mevatel the truma. There's 100 times as much cholin as truma. So the question isn't from the point of view of bittul. The question is from the point of view of the action that the truma is having on the cholin. That's making it rise, right? You have a concept in halacha, for example, called davar hamamid, for example, or you have various kinds of things in halacha where you have something that's essential to a certain process, even though it itself maybe is in a tiny quantity. It's one reason, for example, why cheese made by goyim is awesome, because they would use. Back in the day, they would use rennet in order to curdle the cheese. Rennet is stuff taken is a piece of the lining of the stomach of an animal, and they would use the ones from trefa animals, from nevela or whatever. So even though it's only a tiny thing, but without it you wouldn't have cheese. Therefore, it's a davar hamam and it's never bottle. So here it's a similar thing. We're not talking from the point of view of bittul. We're talking about from the point of view of. Is the truma considered the davar hamamid over here, or not? Because by itself it wouldn't have been enough, and it takes cholin together with it to make it up. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Acha Achren Aniba. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to look at whichever one fell in last. The Gemara is going to mention soon that Abaye is going to explain that we're talking about where he removed the first one before the second one fell in. So then, Rabbi Eliezer says, you go according to the last one. The Chum say whether it fell in at the beginning and the end. It never assers the dough unless the piece of truma by itself is large enough to make it chometz. So Abaye clarifies that when Rabbi Eliezer says acher aniba lo shono elisha kodem v'silikas eiser, that Rabbi Eliezer himself, even Rabbi Eliezer, is only talking about where you remove the issue, the piece of truma sourdough fell in, then you removed it, it fell in, it started doing its work. But only to a limited extent, because it was a small piece. Then you removed it. Then a piece of cholin fell in and finished the job of making it chametz. Ava loy kodem v'silika se'isr. But if you didn't, if truma sourdough is still in there when the cholin sourdough falls in there, then osir, then it would be osir. So when you have, in the case where kodem v'silika se'isr, what you've accomplished by that is, okay, the piece of truma started accomplishing a little bit, that now it makes it possible for the other one to finish. But the first one at least already is bottle over there, so you can't say chozev aniyu. You can't say it's like it wakes up again. It's because he took it out. Right. All you have left, in other words, is the effect of it, and fine. You don't even have the mamoshus of it anymore. Unlike, let's say, in the case of the rennet and then the cheese, you have the actual mamoshus of it in there. Here you don't. Before it ever became chametz, you don't even have the mamoshus of it anymore. But if you didn't, and you have the combination, then it's osir. That seems to be zebezeh godem is osir. So it seems to be that there we have an example where Rabbi Eliezer says zebezeh godem is osir. Applying that to our case over here, that would mean Rabbi Eliezer would say the oven itself remains osir, the new oven that you fired up with klipei orla. Therefore, any bread that you bake from now on in that oven is going to be coming from a thing of Isser, the oven, and a thing of Heter, whatever other wood you use. And Zevazet Godem would be Osir, and therefore the bread, any bread you ever bake in it is going to be Osir, and therefore you might as well break the oven, because you can't do anything useful with it. The problem with that is, the time of the Rabbi Eliezer Kabaya. The question is, who says that Rabbi Eliezer's reason is based on what Abaya is saying? And that it requires us to say that he took out the truma first. After all, it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer is just saying, the fact is you always go according to the last one, because you go according to the Gemar Maisa. So if the truma fell in first, then you would say it only began the job. The cholin finished the job, therefore it's mutter. If the truma fell in last, then the truma is the one that finished the job, therefore it's going to be osir. So therefore, so loishna kodem v'silikas iser, loishna loy kodem v'silikas iser. So it wouldn't matter whether he took out the iser ahead of time or not. Either way, he would always say you go according to the last one. Ava b'vas achas hachinami gishari. Maybe if the truma and cholin fell in at the same time, and then maybe Rabbi Eliezer would allow it. Even though there's also zevazeh godem. So not necessarily do we see from there that he holds zevazeh godem as osir. He holds whatever the last thing was makes it osir.
And why is that? And why does he say that finishing is more important than starting? Finish cannot begin.
Why is he saying that finishing is more important than starting?
Finish cannot finish without start.
That's true, but we also can't do it without finishing. So therefore, when it starts, when it only starts the job of making it chametz, the bread by the time that happens, it's not yet chametz. That piece of dough by itself, that piece of truma by itself, is never going to be able to make this dough chametz. Less than 18 minutes, or even maybe scenario is that it's small enough. Fine, you know, eventually, obviously, you know, yeast would spread. Eventually, obviously, you know, fermentation would spread throughout the dough. But by the time that happens, it would take so long that meanwhile the dough itself would spoil and it wouldn't be edible. Whatever the case, the point is that nowadays we just put in a packet of yeast. It's not really the same thing. But when you make sourdough bread, yeah, you have to put in a certain size piece in order for it to work. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer might well be saying, if you have the truma fell in first, and by itself it would never be able to do the job, then there's no reason to ask for the bread. After all, the truma itself is batel. You can't say it's not batel because it's a davar mamid or whatever, because it's not mamid. It's not actually accomplishing anything useful for the dough as a whole. Therefore, there's not necessarily a reason to aser. Only if it falls in last, where you're saying you already have the fermentation process has started, and now the truma is able to accomplish something, namely that with it in there, now that fermentation is going to happen, which it wasn't before, then therefore you might say that might be a reason to aser. That doesn't show that he holds that zevazet godim is also. So no proof that that's what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Elo Rabbi Eliezer de Atzei Asheira. Rather, we can answer that it must be Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in the case of wood from an Asheira tree. The Tnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, not to lie, the Mishnah describes over there various kinds of hanah that you're not allowed to have from an Asheira, a tree that the tree that Ovid Avodah Zarah worship. So not al hemena etim. So the Mishnah says if a person took wood from such a tree asurin b'hana, then that wood is also b'hana. By the way, we're talking about if the tree wasn't batel. Any avodah zarah, any avodah zarah of goyim, those goyim or other goyim who are over the avodah zarah can be mevatel. They can do something to show that they no longer want to worship this, and then it becomes mutar b'hana. And it was in Rambam Shlosha Prakim a few days ago that you still can't use it. You still can't use it for wood for the Beis Mikdash or korbanos or whatever. But for hediyot it's fine. But if it was an asheira belonging to a Jew, then it can never be batel. It's completely also b'hana. Whatever the case, so either we're talking about an asheira of a Jew or we're talking about an asheira of a goy where they were. Anyway, so if you took wood from it, then that wood is also b'ana. Hisik b'anas atanu. If you use that wood to fire up an oven, then it's similar to what we were saying before. Chodosh yutatz yoshan yutzan. If it was a new oven, you have to break the oven. If it was an old oven, you can just cool it off. Offer by a pass, if you bake bread in that oven, asura b'hana, then that bread is also b'hana. So far, the same thing as we were saying in the first braisa about the klipe orla, according to Rebbe. Nis'arva b'acheres, even if that loaf of bread that was baked in such an oven gets mixed up with other loaves of bread, b'acheres, and even then those loaves get mixed up still with other loaves, even then, kulan asur b'hana, all of them are also b'hana. How far down do you go? So actually, the truth is, Tosfos actually says over here, you're not gerdus acheres v'acheres. It doesn't belong in the Mishnah. The Gemara actually, in a number of places, discusses possibilities. What happens, for example, you do have a rule of roiv. After all, you know, we don't apply it in the first case over here because Avodah Zarah is not bottled even be'elef. But you do have a situation where let's say the loaf of bread got mixed in with 100 others, and then let's say, for example, of those 100, let's say they got divided into two batches, let's say 60 and 40, and then one from one of those batches fell into another bunch of loaves of bread. Then you have details about when you say it would be also, when you say it's mutter. If it fell from the 60, it'll be also, because it's more likely that the avodah zarah bread, that the bread that was also was in the 60, which is the roiv, rather than in the 40. It gets into complicated things that it discusses in a few places in Shas. But anyway, the point is, So far the Mishnah, and the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yolachanol Yamamelach. Now Rabbi Eliezer says that there is a way out of it. You don't have to say all the bread is osur. What you can do is you can take the hana, meaning the value of the wood that went into baking this bread, and throw that into the Yamamelach. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer would say, so you have you baked a loaf of bread. It cost you $10 worth of wood to bake that bread. You took that wood from an asherah, which is osur. Now what you do is you take $10 and throw it into the Yam HaMelech, and therefore what you've done is you've gotten rid of the Dmei Eitzim. So therefore you don't have to, the bread can still be mutter. Omruloi ain pidyon l'avodah zara, and the Chachamim said you can't do that. You can't be poida avodah zara once it's osur. It's actually there, right? So anyway, the bottom line is, what do we see from all of this? Rabbi Eliezer, first of all, agrees that if you don't take the Hana, the Yam HaMelech, then he's agreeing that the bread is osur, and more to the point, he's also agreeing that the oven has to be destroyed. Now, what would that be? It must be because Zev is a Gerdim. It must be Zev is a Gerdim. And therefore, from now on, anytime you bake something in that oven, then you're going to have Zev is a Gerdim. You're always going to have that the oven is going to be Osir, the wood that you're using is going to be Mutter, and it's going to be Zev is a Gerdim, and therefore you're going to have a problem. The Chachamim, meanwhile, would say that actually they would say, So they say that the Hanas Hesek, they would say the Hanah that you fired it up, even that you don't actually have the Isser Be'en, you don't have the Isser is not actually present. That so therefore that was why they said before that all you have to do is cool off the oven, especially on top of that, you're not even talking about the bread, you're talking about you're talking about the oven. Now, there's still, Rashi explains, they're still not saying lachatchila that you should be able to use it. That's why they're saying you have to cool off the oven. So a new oven. Well, so the Mishnah is saying over here you have to break, and Rabbi Eliezer is agreeing with that. So therefore, we see unless he takes Zmei Anol the Yam HaMelech. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds Zev is a Gerdim and Zosur. So actually, it actually says when we say Rabbi Eliezer over here, what we really mean is that you have what's called Rabbi Eliezer Umachluktei. You have the Chachamim here in this Mishnah agree with Rabbi Eliezer on the basic concept. In fact, they go further than him because he says you could be poided at least by taking Dmei Hanol Yam HaMelech, and they disagree, as opposed to when we started the Sugya and we mentioned a Braisa that said that whether it's a new oven or an old oven, you have to cool it off. So what we would say is that we have Rabbi Eliezer Umachluktei, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim who disagree with him are on one side of that, and then you have other Chachamim who are on a different side of that who say that B'chlah, we're not even worried about the Isser of the oven because Zev is a Gerdim is Mutter. Yeah. So that shows that Rabbi Eliezer holds Zev is a Gerdim, and that's why you have to break the oven, because from now on, anytime you use that oven for baking, you're going to be using you're going to have Zev is a Gerdim. The question with that still is Eimer Deshamatle Rabbi Eliezer Ba'avad Azara Dechomer Isura. Okay, you see, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Ba'avad Azara, which has very very strict Isurim on it. Bishari Isurim Shabatodim Ishamatle. Where do you ever find that Rabbi Eliezer would say such a thing about other Isurim, which are not as stringent as Avad Azara? The answer is Elim Kena Mantirmiye. If you're going to answer that, then who else are you going to find? You don't find any other Tana except, again, Rabbi Eliezer Machluktei, who holds that Zev is a Gerdim is also. So necessarily, we have to say that, yes, Rabbi Eliezer, in fact, holds of that not only by Avodah Zarah, but by other Isurim as well. And therefore, the first Braisa that we quoted about the oven that was fired up with Klipei Orla and saying the oven has to be broken, the only one who we can make that work according to is Rabbi Eliezer or Machluktei or the Chachamim that he's disagreeing with in that Mishnah there in Avodah Zarah about Pidyon L'Avodah Zarah. But that's it. It has to be, because otherwise, if you were going to say that even Rabbi Eliezer or Machluktei are only Machmir by Avodah Zarah, then there's nobody left for that Braisa that we quoted before to work according to. Not only that logic, we actually have a braisa that says explicitly that in fact Rabbi Eliezer would say the same thing as also with all Isurim Shabbat Torah. Whenever you have Zev is a Gerdim, Rabbi Eliezer is always going to say it's also. So actually, Tosfos points out there seems to be a place in a Gemara in Tumura that implies that even Rabbi Eliezer says that even Rabbi Eliezer holds in certain cases Zevaz Agurim is Mutter. Okay, Tosfos over here just leaves it as a question. Tosfos gives an answer over there. But anyway, the point is, in our Gemara over here, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Zevaz Agurim is Osir. That would be the one, therefore, who says that the oven has to be broken because from now on, anything you make with it is going to be made with something which is Osir, and that's going to make the bread Osir. Okay. Amar Abaye. So now Abaye says, let's analyze the opinions further. Im timtzaloima zevaz agorim osir. If you find, now you have like this. When we said we started with a braisa that said that if you fire up an oven, a new oven with klipei orlo, then you have to break it. And then the continuation, the braisa said, what happened if you used an existing oven and you fired it up with klipei orlo and baked bread in it? Would the bread be osir mutter? Rebbe had said it's osir, and the chachamim said it's mutter. If you find any braisa that explicitly says that Rebbe says it's also in the oven as well, even though you're not actually eating the oven, and with the oven the maximum you can have is Zevaz Agurim is also, then it would be Rebbe Hainu Rebbe Eliezer. Then it would mean that Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Eliezer, and then there's no problem. The Im Timtzaloima Zevaz Agurim Mutter. If we understand that Rebbe agrees with the Chachamim that Zevaz Agurim is Mutter, and therefore it would mean that in the Braisa about Klipei Orla, the first part about Chodesh Yurtats would be actually not according to Rebbe, but according to Rebbe Eliezer. Remember, you have later on in the Braisa, you have Rebbe versus the Chachamim, whether the bread is mutter or not. But we don't know the ratio of that Braisa, Tanoshe Sikha, Klipei Orla, is that part according to everybody, including Rebbe, or is that part according to Rebbe Eliezer? If you say the first part of that braisa is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and Rebbe himself holds that Zev is a Gerdim is mutter, and the only reason he says the bread is osir is because you have the shvach etzim bapas, you have the actual benefit from the wood itself goes into the bread. So literally you're enjoying with Gerdim echad. In other words, you only have one Gerdim of the bread. The oven can't really be considered such a Gerdim towards the bread. If you take that view, and you would say the reason why Rebbe would say the bread is osir is because of this business of shvach etzim pas. If you say it that way, then hani kairos v'koisus with sloichias asiri. Then the result of it would be that if you have earthenware, now up until now we were talking about an oven is used less directly. You don't eat off the oven, you just bake bread in it. But what about plates or cups or bottles, which were made out of earthenware and were fired in an oven where they used atze asher or atze isser or whatever? Then Rebbe would, and then you have shvach etzim in them. You can't really say there's no gerdim sheni because you're using them directly. So then asiri, then they would be also, because when you use that plate, you're using the plate directly. You don't need anything else with the plate in order to be able to use it, as opposed to with the oven. You can't use an oven unless you fire it up. So therefore, any time you use the oven, it's going to be Zevaz Agurim. But when you use the plate that was fired up like that, it's not going to be Zevaz Agurim. It's just going to be one direct grama of, it's just going to be just one direct gurdim of Isser. You're not eating the plate, but you're eating off the plate and you're using it directly. Exactly. So ki pligi betano ukdera. Then we would have to say that Rebbe and the Chachamim are only. So then the argument between Rebbe and Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe who says the bread is osir, but the Rebbe who says the bread is osir, but the oven doesn't have to be broken, versus Rebbe Eliezer who would say the oven has to be broken. Then the argument would be between them the machlokas would be about an oven or about a pot. A pot is also like an oven in that sense, because again, you don't eat directly out of the pot. You need to later on cook food in the pot in order for it to be useful. So Lamanda Amma Zev is a Gerdim Osir. So Rabbi Eliezer, who says Zev is a Gerdim, would say is Osir, then Osir, then it would mean the pot would also be Osir, and you'd have to break it. Lamanda Amma Zev is a Gerdim Mutar Shari. Whereas according to Rebbe, who says Zev is a Gerdim, and according to the Chachamim, who are even more makel than Rebbe, and say that even the bread is Mutar, then they would, in the first Braisa, right? We said that Ofa Baris Apas, Rebbe Amma Apas Asura, Bachamim Amma Apas Muteris. Yeah, so we had the Chachamim over there are even more makel than Rebbe. They say that we're not even concerned about Shvach Eitzim Apas, because the fact... Well, they say you have to cool the oven down because that Lachatchili, you can't use Zev as a Gerdim, and the fact is it's not a great hefzid to cool the oven down. But they say you don't have to break the oven, and the bread itself that you baked with the Klipe Orla remains mutter. Because you have Zev as a Gerdim, you have the oven plus the oven itself, which is mutter, plus the Klipe Orla, which are also. So then Rebbe and the Chachamim would say Shari would say that the oven or pot would be mutter. Ikalaman, Ikadamri, then there's another
The Chachamim agree
with Rebbe on Zev as a Gerdim. They agree that Zev as a Gerdim is Mutter. It's Rebbe Eliezer u'machlukta. It's Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim in the Mishnah with him in Avodah Zarah who hold that Zev as a Gerdim also. What was
right.
Saying,
why do they hold that Zev is a Gerdim Mutter, the Chachamim?
The Chachamim hold that Zev is a Gerdim is Mutter because just that. Because you have one Gerdim of Isser, you have another Gerdim of Heter, and the combination is enough to make it Mutter. As long as you don't have that Isser by itself was the Gerdim Echad. Now, within that, then you have the question, when it comes to bread, do you say Shvach Eitzim Apas? Do you say that in the bread itself, in effect, you only have one Gerdim because the major Gerdim of the bread is the firewood that was used to bake it. So there, Rebbe is saying yes, and the Chachamim are saying no. But they both agree on the underlying idea of Zev as a Gerdim being Mutter. So now we're saying, applying that, therefore, for example, to plates. Earthenware plates that were fired up in an oven with Klipe Orla or wood of an Asherah or whatever. So we would say, if we say yes, Shvach Eitzim Apas, like Rebbe, then according to Rebbe, also plates and things like that would be also as well. What about ovens? What about pots? So there we have. If we say Zev is a Gerdim is also, which is Rebbe Eliezer or Machlokdei, then we would say those are also as well. If you say Zev is a Gerdim is Mutter, which is Rebbe or Machlokdei, Rebbe and the Chachamim who are arguing with him, then you would say that those are Mutter. Ikadamri, then there's another version that says, no, Afilu Lamanda Amma Zev is a Gerdim Mutter, even according to Rebbe and his Chachamim, who say that usually Zev is a Gerdim Mutter, Kedera Asura, they would still agree that a pot would be also the Kibla Mishula Mikame Denitin Eitzim Dehetera. Because what happens is, that if you used Atse Isur to fire it up, then you have it became nisbashal, it became cooked, it became usable with only one Gerdim. Because what happens, in other words, in the future, what's going to happen if you have an oven that you fired up with Klipe Orla the first time? Yes, that accomplished that now it's a usable oven. And the next time you use that oven, what are you going to need to do? You're going to need to use other firewood. So you're always going to have Zev as a Gerdim as Osir. As opposed to with a pot, you have the pot itself became Osir through the one Gerdim. And then from now on, when you're using that pot, the hana you're getting from the pot itself is going to be a direct one. And there's nothing else that you need in order to do that. Therefore, even that opinion would say that it's also that the pot, because not Zev is a Gerdim anymore, right? Okay. As usual, the halacha is like the second lashon in the Gemara, so that would mean the halacha is like this. But first, we have to establish what is the din as far as Zev is a Gerdim, and what is the din as far as the bread. Do we say yes, Shvach Eitzim Apas? So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Tanur Sheisikah B'Klipei Orla. an oven that you fired up with klipei orla, or with cash and shokalaya kerem, or with straw of kalaya kerem, chodesh yurtatz yoshan yurtzan. If it's a new oven, you have to break it. If it's an old oven, you can cool it down. So far, that's like the brayse that we quoted before. Off of bayis apas, then if you baked bread in it, now we have the opposite of the opinions before. Rebbe omer apas, muteres v'chamer apas asura. Rebbe says it's muter, the chum say it's awesome. So the question is, v'hatanya ipcha, at the beginning of the sugya, we quoted a braisa the other way around. So how are you flipping it around? So one answer is Shmuel ipcha tani. You should know that Shmuel actually had a version of that braisa that went backwards. Okay, sometimes you have that. Sometimes you have different amiroyim that have different versions of a braisa, occasionally even of a mishnah, and they have different opinions who said what. One example I can think of is you have at the end of the first parak of Sukkah, you have a machlokas of Eliezer and the Chachamim over there about a Sukkah that you made with a peaked roof, without a flat roof or flat sides or whatever, or like a lean-to, where you have a machlokas of Eliezer and the Chachamim over there, and the Gemara explains that actually the machlokas is the other way around than the way we have it in the Mishnah is in front of us. The result being that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah over there, even though usually the halacha would be like a Chachamim. So here it's similarly, right? So here, similarly, Shmuel had a different version of the Braisa. That's one possibility. The Iboyesema, or another possibility, Ba'alma Kasava Shmuel, the other possibility is that maybe Shmuel's version of the Braisa was exactly the same as we have it, but he deliberately altered it, because Ba'alma Kasava Shmuel Halacha Kerebi Mechadei Roy, usually Shmuel holds, according to the rule that we learned in Eruvin, that when Rebbe has a machlokas with one individual Tana, then the halacha is like him. But if he has a machlokas with the Chachamim in general, then the halacha is like the Chachamim. Halacha k'Rebbe mechavei roi. The halacha is like Rebbe against one chaver, but not mechavei rov, not against many chaverim. In this particular case, Shmuel holds that the halacha should be like Rebbe, even mechaveirav. The savar, but therefore Shmuel figured, esnye ipcha, let me deliberately flip around the braisa and teach it the other way around. Even though I know the correct version of the braisa is the way we quoted it before, ki heifed the nekum rabbanon leisura. This way it comes out that the actual opinion, which is supposed to be al pi halacha, comes out as the opinion of the rabbanon, and that way people will follow it, and they're not going to find it strange that why we pass something like Rebbe against the rabbin. So therefore, according to that, he deliberately flipped around the braisa. The result is, the halacha is in fact, in other words, as Rashi says, if I say the halacha is like Rebbe, who's a yachid, lo yaminu li, they're not going to believe me, they're not going to accept it from me, and they're going to say, look, the chachamim say you can be make, or we should be able to follow the chachamim. So therefore he deliberately flipped around the braisa in order to that people should do the correct halacha. We have various examples like that in different places in Shas where a Tana or an Amora will say something different than how it is in order that the halacha itself is more important to, it's more important that the integrity of what the halacha is should be preserved more so than the details of who said what, for example. So even though usually we say kolayim adavah b'shem omer, maybe gula loylam, but it's more important that people should actually follow the correct halacha. Yeah, we're going to learn towards the end of our Masechta, we're going to learn an example of that. There's an expression in the Gemara over there, im bikashta lechonek hitola be'ilan gadol. Literally it means if you want to be strangled, hang yourself on a big tree. And we're going to talk about over there, Rashi and Rashbam, about what it means is that the one meaning of it is, if there's something which you know, to be true, lahalacha, then you're allowed to attribute it to someone, even if you don't know that he actually said it, because basically you can say he would have said it, and this way people will accept it, and then the halacha will be accepted that way. Anyway, you have to really know. Yeah, it's not necessarily for the balabas on the street. Das balabais hepech das torah. After all, yeah. All right. Anyway, Okay. Anyway, the point is, so yes, the halacha in the end is like what we said in the first braisa, what Rebbe holds. So the bread itself will be osur on the grounds of yesh shvach etzim b'pas. On the other, and therefore also we said a pot that was fired up with these klipei orla will also be osur, because again, then you only have, when you're using the pot, you only have one gurdim. But the oven will remain mutter, and all you don't have to break the oven. All you have to do is cool it off, and then you can fire it up again. Because the oven, every time you're using the oven, you're gonna need two things. You're gonna need the oven. You're also gonna need firewood. So therefore, so those two things together are zevazegurim. So there is discussion in halacha about different details in this. First of all, Tosfos talks about before, when we talk about the case of the two pieces of chametz, of the two pieces of stir, what if each one of them by itself is enough to create, is enough to make the dough ferment? So the same thing over here. What if you have enough klipei orla, let's say, that all by themselves you could bake the bread with them? You also have, let's say, together with them, enough aseh heter that also you could bake the bread with them. So then what's do we say Zev is a Gerdim in that case? Or do we not? Because there was enough klipei orla to do it by itself. I think the halacha is we say that it is fine. We also talk about, is there the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch talk about that even Avodah Zarah, we can also say Zev is a Gerdim is mutter, even though Avodah Zarah, as we said before, usually is more stringent than other areas of halacha. We do allow it. With that said, though, when it comes to chametz for Pesach, there's another wrinkle in it. We said, after all, in the Mishnah that you can't fire up an oven with chametz and use it. And there is some discussion about the whole issue of that. What about before this man? If you burnt the chametz before this man, then fine. You're allowed to have. Then usually you're not allowed to have hanah even from the ashes of the chametz that was burnt. We're going to talk about that later. But here, you burnt it before this man, so then there's more reason to be matter. But if the chametz is still be'ain when it comes into 6 hours on our Pesach, or even more so when it comes on Pesach itself, where it's oisib b'mashru, then it's not so simple. Then we might not be able to apply zev zegurim. So you have there's two opinions about that in Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, so if you have, so let's say for example, you took some chametz and some wood of heter, and together you put them in an oven and fired it up and baked bread in that oven on Pesach, baked matzah in that oven on Pesach, would the bread be osur or not? It might actually be, because even though usually we're saying Zev Zegurim is osur, but on the other hand, chametz for Pesach is osur b'mashu. So one practical implication that comes up for that can come up from this nowadays is when you have gas for a car, you usually have ethanol mixed in 10%, or in some places even more, whatever. Now the ethanol is usually made from corn, and therefore it's not a problem. It's kitnius. Kitnius you're even allowed to own on Pesach, let alone to use them. And the question really, what if the ethanol is made from chametz? Might there be an issue therefore with using that gasoline on Pesach? So there's a few possibilities. One of them is one possibility is because even before Pesach it became, it's not Roy Lachelos Kelev, so that might be a consideration that might be matter it. There might be the possibility that you might have to actually fill, there might in such a case you might actually have to fill up the car before Pesach in order that way at least it can be at a time when it can be bottle rather than on Pesach itself when chametz itself is not bottle. Practically speaking, it's not that much of a shaila because the ethanol is usually made from kidneys rather than from wheat. But if they were to use it from wheat, then you would have an example of a shaila. Yeah.
Regarding breaking the oven, what did we say very simply?
Regarding breaking the oven, we said in the end you don't have to break the oven since Zev is a
Gerdim. No, but I know that. But why don't we say, because it's Hefsek Meruba, that we don't have to break the oven?
Well, that's
why.
Okay, so one second. Hefsek Meruba. Okay, Avraham Moshe, I got the question. Now let me answer. Hefsin Meruba by itself is not a reason to be matter things. You need a basis to be matter something, then you can say we're able to follow that lenient opinion on the grounds of Hefsin Meruba. Now here what it is like this. Once we say, if we say Zev is a Gerdim is osur, then there's nothing to talk about. if you say Zev is a Gerdim is Mutter, which in the end we're saying both Rebbe and the Chachamim against him agree with that, now we have the question, after all, even if Zev is a Gerdim is Mutter, you're still not allowed to use it L'chatchila. Why, it's only the Dievet, if you had something with Zev is a Gerdim, then it's Mutter. Why over here are we saying to begin with, you should be allowed to use this oven for baking? Isn't that L'chatchila? That is what Tosfos mentioned at the bottom of the previous Amud, that breaking the oven, because it's Hefsin Merubah, that therefore makes this situation into a B'di-Evid, and therefore that you're allowed to go and use the oven in the future, and it's considered B'di-Evid because the alternative of breaking the oven would be Hefsin Merubah. If it was a matter of, if we said Zev is a Gerdim is Usser, then all the Hefsin Merubah in the world wouldn't change that. Okay. Going on, we said in the Brais of Bishle Al-Gabe
Gecholim. But in some cases, we use Hefsin Merubah as the basis for the halacha.
No, we don't use Hefsin Merubah as a basis for halacha in general. We use Hefsin Merubah when you have an opinion in halacha that usually we say we might not follow that opinion, but we're able to follow it in this case because of Hefsin Merubah. Hefsin Merubah by itself is generally not a basis in halacha. I guess you have some rare exceptions, but in general, but in general, no. Okay. Anyway, we said in the Braisa, Bishla al Gabi Gecholim. Now, up until now, we were talking about the case where you put the wood, you put the klipe orlo or whatever in the oven, and lit them on fire, and as they're burning, the bread is baking. But then we said that suppose you waited until they turned into charcoal, and then you bake the bread on the charcoal. Then we said, Divrei Hakol Apas Muteres. Everybody would agree the bread is mutter, because by the time you're coming to bake the bread, the Isur Hanah is gone, and all you have left is the charcoal of it, then the charcoal and the heat. So, Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Rav Chiya Ba'ashi Amr of Yechanan. So, Rav Yehuda, so we have a machloikus within that. Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel versus Rav Chiya Ba'ashi in the name of Rav Yechanan. Chad Amr, one of them says, Lo Shanu Ela Gecholim Oimimois, that this only applies if the coals are already dim. They're about to, we learned in Erevin about the word Gecholim Oimimois, whether it's an Oimimois with an Aleph or an Ayin. It means coals that are dim and are not burning so brightly anymore. Ava Gecholim Loichshes Asurin, but if they're brightly burning coals, Loichshes literally means whispering. It actually says because like they move around, they look as though they're whispering to each other. Anyway, then that opinion says Asurin, that would be also according to Rebbe, because then you still have, there's enough mamoshes of the issue over there. V'chad Omer, the other one says, Afilu Gecholim Loichshes Namim Mutarin, even if it's brightly burning coals, then the bread is still mutar. So let's figure out. I understand why one opinion says that if they're loichshes, they're usur. Mishum diya shvach etzim apas, because we still have the problem that the actual shvach that's caused by the wood goes into the bread. Therefore, in effect, the bread only has one gerdim, and therefore it's usur, according to Rebbe. But if you say that even brightly burning coals is mutter, then pass the osar the yeshvach etzim apas the Rebbe. Then according to Rebbe, when he says that we would say yeshvach etzim apas and the bread is osar, heichim ashkachasle, what would be the scenario? Even brightly burning coals are mutter. So what according to him would be osar? The answer is amar papak shavuka kenegdei. That would be when there's an actual flame in the oven that is right underneath the bread. And then remember, the ovens in those times were made such that you stuck the bread to the side of the oven. So when you have kenegdo, it literally means in front of it. So in front of it, you have a flame which is directly baking it. That's when Rebbe would say that it's yeshvach etzim apas. But if you just have the coals are at the bottom of the oven and the heat of them is rising, then according to that manda amar, even Rebbe would say it's mutter. So the question is, well, then according to that, it would have to mean the Chachamim, who are saying that the bread is mutter, would have to be talking about even avuka kenegdoi, even if there's a flame coming from this wood directly in front of the bread, they would say it's mutter. Well, ela etzim the isura l'rabbanon heichim ashkachaslu. Then what would be the scenario where the Chachamim would say that wood is osa b'hana and is and asers other things that are made from it b'hana? The answer is Amar Amin Bahama Bashar Shifa. If let's say you took the wood and made a chair out of it, then Chacham would say that kind of hanah from it would be osir. Yeah, let's say you took a person took wood from an asherah tree and made a chair out of it, the chair would be osir to sit on. But according to that way of looking at it, according to this one mandama, the Chachamim would say, any time that you have a Dvar Issur and you're using it for firewood, when are you getting the Hanah from it? When it's burning or after it's burning, and at that point it's burnt. So therefore there's no Issur to create a problem. Even Avruka Kinegda, even you have the flame is directly in front of the bread and directly baking it, but it's coming from the part of the wood that was already burnt. And the part of the wood that was already burnt is not also Hanah anymore. That's how wood is made to work. But still, according to that mandama, the Chum would still say it's also. Whereas Rebbe would say that yes, Shvach Eitzim Apas applies in that case, but still, according to that mandama, only if Avruka Kinegdei. If it's coals, even if the coals are still luscious, even if they're still live, hot, very hot coals, then according to that mandama, Rebbe would allow it. Whereas according to the other one, Rebbe would say that no, only if they're, Rebbe would allow it, only if it's Kecholim Oimimos, only if it's dim coals. Yeah. Okay. Next, most of the Rishonim, by the way, paskin like the lenient opinion in that one, that it is mutter even if gecholim loichshes, even though we said before the halacha is like Rebbe, but if it's only gecholim loichshes, then it would be mutter. It's only if avruka kinegda, only if you have a flame directly in front of the bread directly baking it, that's when Rebbe would say it's also, and the Chum would say it's mutter. And we said before the halacha is like Rebbe. We said before, the halacha is like Rebbe. Remember, that's why Shmuel flipped around the braisa. Yeah. Okay. Next. Bomine Rami bar Chama min Rav Chista. Rami bar Chama asked Rav Chista as follows. Kanushi sikhi ba'ate hektish. Suppose now, let's talk about another thing that's also b'hanah. You use wood of hektish to fire up an oven. But Alfa Boyas HaPas, and he baked bread in that oven. Lira bonan de shoro b'kamaisa. Well, according to Rebbe, obviously there's no question. If it's also in the first case, it's also over here as well. But according to the Chachamim, who say that it's mutter in the previous case, what would they say over here? Omale HaPas Asura. So Rav Chista tells him the bread would actually be also even according to the Chachamim. So the question is, Ma ben Zula Orla. So what's the difference? Why by Orla are we saying that the Chachamim would allow it and here not? Omar Rava, Hochi Hashta. So Rava says, what kind of a comparison is that? Obviously, there's a big difference. Orla betela mamasayim. Orla can be bought to 1 in 200. So therefore, once it's burnt, once any part of the Orla is burnt, and that's when you're getting the flame from it, we just said, the Chachamim say, even though Avruka Kinegda, they would still allow it, because the Issur itself has been burnt up by that point, as opposed to Hektish, I feel about Elif Lay Bottle. Hektish is never bottled, even in 1,000. And Taka, why not? So Tosfos actually mentions a reason that actually it's not so much a Chumra, actually Tosfos asks the question, it's not really a Chumra in Hektish per se, it's more a matter of Hektish is a Dover Shiyesh Lay Matirin. We have a concept that if you have a Dover Shiyesh Lay Matirin, something which is Osir, but there's an easy way for it to become Mutter, then we say it's not Bottle even the Elif. One example of that, let's say, is for example, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, which is not Bottle even in many others, because it's a Dover Shiyesh Lay Matirin. Once Yom Tov is over, the egg will be Mutter. There are other examples like that also. Here, with Hektish, it's a Dover Shiyesh Lay Matirin, because you can be Mechalal it. You can be Poida, the Hektish. So Tosfos wonders, then in that case, then it's not really a Chumra in Hektish, per se. It's a Chumra in Dover Shiyesh Lay Matirin. So why? But still, the Gemara is assuming that it's a certain Chumra in Hektish itself. Okay. So Rami Bar Chama's question doesn't really begin. Obviously, there's a reason what to be Machmer on Hektish more than Orla. Ela Amar Rava, I Kasha Lei HaKasha. Rather, Rava says, if Rami Bar Chama is going to have a question in connection with using Hektish, Hochi Kasha Lei. This is really what he should be asking. V'Halei Mo'al HaMasik. Now, when you have the one who put the wood in the oven is the one who committed Me'ilah. Now, we have a general rule with many things of Hektish. Actually, Rashi says the rule is anything that doesn't have Kedushas HaGuf, as soon as a person uses it for his purposes, then it no longer belongs to Hektish. It's called Ein Moyel Acham Moyel B'Mukdashin. If you have, for example, let's say in this case the wood, it doesn't have Kedushas HaGuf, it only has Kedushas Damim. The first person who uses it takes it out of the Rishus of Hektish and makes it now it's Cholin. So he's chayev to bring a Korban Me'ilah, but then and to repay Hektish for it plus a Chomish, but the next person who uses it is not committing Me'ilah. He got it from the Bez Mikdash, let's say, yeah. So that, wherever it is he got it from, So the question now, therefore, is, so why should the bread be osir? B'chol hecha the mal hamasik nafgul lehul cholin. As soon as he committed me'ila, the wood became cholin. So now, as soon as he put the wood in the oven already, he committed me'ila. By the time you fire up the oven, the wood is already cholin. So why is the bread osir? That should really be the question. So Rav is saying, that's the question Rami Bar Chama should have asked. So the Papa answers, what we're talking about over here is wood, that it's not wood for Bedek Abayis, where just as Kedushas Damim, what it is it's wood that he designated, that he plans to sell that wood and use the money he gets from it to buy a Shlomim. Now, Shlomim are Kodshim Kalim, and the rule is Me'ila doesn't apply to them. Me'ila does not apply to Kodshim Kalim, because Kodshim Kalim are not the din is Me'ila only applies to Kodshei Hashem, things that belong exclusively to Hekdesh or to the Beis Mikdash. A Shlomim doesn't really, because the owner ends up eating the meat of it. In the end, what happens is, after the Shlomim is shechted and they take out the Emurim go completely Lashem, they're completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Those Me'ila applies to. But as long as before the animal is shechted, Me'ila doesn't apply to it. So therefore, Va'alibah de Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Hektish B'Shogeg Mishalal, so when Rav Chista answered the question and he said that the bread becomes also, it was as follows. Va'alibah de Rabbi Yehuda, he was following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That he says hektish only becomes mischalal. This rule that we just said, the first person who uses it takes it out of the rishus of hektish. Rabbi Yehuda says that only applies if he does it b'shoigig, not if he does it b'mezid. So b'mezid my time aloy. Now why if he does it b'mezid? Why is it if he does it b'mezid? It doesn't take it out of the rishus of hekdesh. Kiven de lav ba me'ilahu, because since he's not high of a korban me'ilah for it, therefore loy nafik l'chulin. So therefore it doesn't go out l'chulin. In order for it to go l'chulin, it has to be that he committed me'ilah, and here, in other words, that he's high of for the consequences of me'ilah, namely a korban. And here you don't have that. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, therefore, it only works for Shogeg. Shlomim Nami, by the same logic, kiven de lav ba me'ila ninu, since a Shlomim is not subject to me'ila, as we just said, because it's not Kodshei Hashem, therefore, loy nafta l'chulin, therefore, the wood that you were matpis for Shlomim, so if it's a Shlomim, even if you used it for Shogeg, let's say the animal itself, or in this case, the wood, which has, in effect, Kedushas Shlomim, because you're going to use this wood in order to bring a korban Shlomim, to use the money for a korban shlomim. So therefore, even if you use it b'shogeg, it's the equivalent of using something else b'mezin, and it doesn't, because no me'ila applies, therefore it doesn't go out l'cholin. Only when me'ila kicks in, only then does it go out l'cholin. Therefore this wood remains hektish. And since it remains hektish, then we can talk about that the bread is also. Tosfos points out you didn't have to bring in ba'atzei shlomim dafka. You could have said it's regular atzei hektish, and we're talking about that he put it in the oven deliberately, knowing that it's wood of hektish. But people don't usually do that. We learned in the first parak, for example, that we said you had chometz that belonged to hektish. You don't even have to put a mechitza in front of it, because people usually stay away from it because people are afraid of the concept of me'ila. So here, similarly, you most of the time people are not going to be over on me'ila. Amazing. So that's the answer. So the reason why Rav Chista said that with Atzei Hektish it's Osir, is because no Me'ila has been done, because even though we're talking maybe he did it B'Shogeg, as Me'ila usually is, but here we're talking about something where Me'ila does not even apply to it B'Shogeg, because it has the Kedusha of Shlomim. Because the money of it is going to be used to buy a shlomim rather than to go to Bedek Abayis as usual. Okay, so the question is, so you're telling me that's a general rule? The other way around, then, it means that whenever the one who put the wood in, whenever he did commit me'ila, then we're saying the wood becomes cholin, and therefore the bread is not going to be usher. We learn in a b'raisa, Well, it's actually, we learn a Braisa. It's actually a Mishnah at the end. It's actually a Mishnah at the end of tomorrow. No, maybe not. I guess it's a Braisa, whatever. Kolam is Sraf and Ephron Mutter, Chutz me Atzei Asher, of Eifah Hektish. Anything that the din is you have to burn. Now we have the Mishnah over there at the end of tomorrow describes, as we talked about yesterday, there are some Yisurei Hana that the mitzvah is you have to burn them, as we're going to start discussing now about Chometz and about Noiser. And there are other ones where the mitzvah is you have to bury them. The difference is that the ones that have to be burnt, the ashes of them are mutter. Once you accomplish, like we said the other day, once the mitzvah has been accomplished with something, then it's mutter. So therefore, here the mitzvah has been accomplished, it was burnt. Therefore, the ashes are mutter, as opposed to things that have to be buried. Then even if you did burn them, the ashes are also. So the Braisa says anything that has to be burnt, the ashes are also. Chutz me atzei asherah ve'efer hektish, except for wood from an asherah, the ashes of it remain also, and the ashes of Hektish. So therefore, so you see, even after it was burned, and that means somebody committed Me'ilah with it, then it still remains Aser. So the answer is Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, Ve'efer Hektish La'olam Aser. Ashes of Hektish are always Aser. So we see another. Now, so Rashi explains the reason why the Braisa uses a different expression, Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, versus Efer Hektish La'olam Aser, because in Asherah, what you can do is there is a way in which ashes from an Asherah are mutter. Namely, if the Goy is Mevatel, like we said before, Goy can be Mevatel, the Avodah Zarah that he worshipped, right? And then you burn it, and then the ashes will be mutter. Well, right. As opposed to with Hektish, there's no such thing. Hektish usually means Hektish Bedek Abayis, where it has Kedushas Domim, not Kedushas Aguf. So here, right, as opposed to the case of a Shlomim. Right, so Tosfos says, right, again, the Gemara could answer that that Efer Hektish over here means where it was wood that was designated for a Shlomim, but the Gemara wants to find a way, even where it's generically Hektish, where the same din would apply. So Omer Rami Bachoma, the answer is, Kedushas Nofla Gleika Me'eleha Ba'atzei Hektish. With the case that the Braisa is talking about over there is not that a person deliberately took the wood and used it for fire, and not deliberately, well, okay, you deliberately used it for fire, but it was Meshoyu, he didn't know it was Hektish. Then we said, yes, Me'ilah applies. What we mean over here is that a fire broke out and burnt this wood. Delekta Inish Denimel, so nobody actually committed Me'ilah, therefore the wood remained Hektish, and therefore the ashes also remained Hektish. Because, and therefore you can't use them, because there was no Me'ilah, because there was nobody to do Me'ilah, the fire broke out on its own, right? Rav Shmaya Amar, but Oisin Shtun and Gnisa. Rav Shmaya says, no, what you're talking about is, when we say La'olam Aser, we mean there's a specific ashes of Hektish that is always Aser, namely the ones that you have to have Gnisa, namely the ones of Terumas Hadeshin that we talked about yesterday or the day before. The Tanya, V'samay Benachas, the Pasuk says about the Terumas Hadeshin, V'samay, you should place it down, Benachas, gently. V'samay means kuloi, that you have to put all of it down. V'samay shalay yifazer. V'samay also means that you shouldn't scatter it. You have to put it down gently and not allow it to scatter. And as we said, it got swallowed up in the ground. It's tunin gniza. So therefore, that ashes, yes, is we said before, there was gzeres hakosov, that those ashes remain also. We said by them, we said by Big Dekohona, Shnei Ksuma Boim Kachot, the whole discussion that we had yesterday. But other than that, regular ashes of Hektish, where, according to both answers, a regular case where a person takes wood of Hektish, b'shoigig, and uses it, then yes, the wood will be, the wood will become cholin, and therefore the ashes of it, of course, will be mutter, and the bread baked with it will also be mutter. Only if you have, so the case where we would say that bread is aser, again, is only if it's wood that was designated to use to bring a korban shlomim, so therefore me'ilah doesn't apply to it, just like it doesn't apply to the shlomim itself. But if it was regular atzei hektish, regular wood of hektish, then the only way the ashes would be aser is, as we said, if a fire broke out by itself and nobody actually committed me'ilah with the wood before it was reduced to ashes. The bread would be mutter, therefore, if it was wood of regular hektish. The bread would also be mutter if it was wood of shlomim and he deliberately used it, but usually people don't do that, as Tosfos says. And it would be also if it was wood of shlomim and he did it b'shoigig, because then me'ilah doesn't apply to that wood. Me'ilah can never apply to that wood because of shlomim itself. Me'ilah doesn't apply to. Again, me'ilah is only going to apply to the emurim, only to the emurim of the shlomim after they're taken out of it. The Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Biur V'chola. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, the only valid way of Biur Chometz is burning it. And the Chum say that You could the Chum said that no, you could crumble it and throw it to the wind, or throw it into the sea. So first, we're going to have a discussion where Rabbi Yehuda gets this idea that you dafka have to burn it, and then the next discussion is going to be what the Chachamim say, and at the end of it, also we'll talk about who the halacha is like. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ein biyo chometz al asreifa. The only valid way of biyo chometz is to burn it. And he says, v'adin noisin. In fact, you can prove it by a kav chomer. Uman noiser she'enim b'val yirol b'yimotze ton sreifa. Madach noiser, where there's no isser of bal yirol b'yimotze. You're not allowed to leave over from a korban. And if you do, you have to burn it. But there's no isser of having that noiser in your possession until it's burned. And yet, ton sreifa, yet the Torah tells us noiser has to be burnt. Chometz sheyeshnim b'al yirol b'yimotze lekoshken ton sreifa. Shouldn't it be a kav chomer that chometz where you have b'al yirol b'yimotze that you should require burning it? Omruloi, so the Chacham answered him, kol din sha'at the don tchilose lahachme b'sofa lahokol ain't a din. If you're trying to make a kavachomer, and the kavachomer is actually going to wind up with a kula rather than a chumra, then it's not a valid kavachomer. Meaning, so in this case, it's going to result in a kula. Loi motza etzim l'sofa. What happens if you can't find wood to burn the chametz? Yehei yoshev a bottle. Are you supposed to just sit there and not burn the chametz? Ba'atoda oma tashbisu skomim batechem. The Torah says you have to get rid of chametz from your houses, meaning b'chol dover shati yochal ashbisu. Whatever you could use to destroy the chametz, you have to. So therefore, you, Rabbi Yehuda, are saying you dafka have to burn it, but that could result in a kula, namely that you're not going to end up burning it if you don't have wood. You can't do that. Therefore, it's not a valid kavachomer. So now we did talk about in the first parak that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi mentions it over here, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that bishas biurai hashbasase b'chol dover, that in the time of biur, which what that means, we'll talk about in a second, then Rabbi Yehuda agrees you can get rid of it however you want to. But the point is, let's say, now Rashi learns that bishas biurai versus shaloi bishas biurai means like this. Bishas biurai would be, b'shas bi'urei, one way of understanding would be at the time when you chayev to be mevayeret, namely during the sixth hour, and shaloi b'shas bi'urei would be before that. So Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, if you want to burn it, for example, Rashi says over here, let's say, for example, you plan to leave on a trip within 30 days of Pesach, and we learned in the first parak that you have to do biur chametz before you leave. So that's shaloi b'shas biurai, and Rabbi Yehuda would insist over there that you have to burn it with wood. So therefore, if you don't have wood, what are you supposed to do? Are you not going to be mevayeret? Then you're not accomplishing the mitzvah. As opposed to b'shas biurai, fine, Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree b'shas biurai during the sixth hour, you can burn it with whatever you need to, but you still have cases where there's going to be yoshev a bottle. That's according to Rashi. Then Tosfos learns that b'shas biurai actually means the time when people regularly burn it, which is earlier in the morning on Erev Pesach, for example, the beginning of the sixth hour, as opposed to once it comes the time when it's also Daraisa, beginning from the seventh hour, that's when Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that you have to dafka burn it with wood. So the question would be, at that point, the Torah says, Tashbisu, you have to be getting rid of chametz from your possession, and you're telling him just sit there and don't do it because you don't have firewood. There is also, I think, the Rosh has an understanding of Rashi that only during the sixth hour is it considered Shas Biurai, before or after it would be Shaloi B'Shas Biurai. And it's kind of a combination of what we said before of Rashi and what Tosfos is saying. Whatever the case, there is a time when Rabbi Yehuda holds that the only valid way to do it is burning, and the Chacham is saying, but even during that time, the result is Yoshev a bottle that he's not going to be able to do anything if he has no firewood. So you can't. So that's not a valid Kal V'Chomer, they tell him. So the Gemara continues, Chozer Rabbi Yehuda v'donei din acher. So okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, fine, you shot down that Kal V'Chomer, I'll try something else. Let's instead of a Kal V'Chomer, I'll do a Mamotzinu, I'll do a Binyanav. Noiser v'Sreifa, Noiser also v'Achila v'Chometz also v'Achila. Both Noiser and Chometz have this in common. They're both also to eat. Ma Noiser v'Sreifa, av Chometz v'Sreifa. We find the Torah explicitly says about Noiser, you have to burn it. Therefore, therefore Chometz should be the same thing. So they answer him, instead you could refute that mamatzinu based on nevela. You're not allowed to eat nevela, but you don't have to burn it. Omalahen hefresh. He says there's a difference. a noiser is not only you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to have hanah from it either. But chometz also ba'achilu v'hanah. Chometz is also ba'hanah. Man noiser toren sreifa, chometz toren sreifa. You can't contradict that from nevela, because nevela, as we learned the other day, is mutar ba'hanah. Amru loy, so they answered him, shora nisko yechia. Nu, we can also slog you up from shora nisko. Sh'osu ba'achilu v'hanah v'ein toren sreifa. Shora nisko, we said, is also ba'hanah, but you don't have to burn it. Well, I'm sure Niskel doesn't say specifically what you do with it. It just says stockle, you stockle while you're all sorry. What happens after that doesn't specifically say, but yeah, we said the skin is also as well. It doesn't specifically say whether you have to burn it or bury it. Apostrophe, so you can just leave it over there and eventually it rots away. But whatever, the point is you don't specifically have a mitzvah to burn it. Omer lahen hefresh. So he says again, there's a difference. Noisa also ba'achilu v'anav ve'onush kores. V'chometz also ba'achilu v'anav ve'onush kores. So you have three factors that noisa and chometz have in common. Man noisa b'sreifa, av chometz b'sreifa. So the same thing, noisa and chometz should be the same as far as the burning. Omer lo chelbo shor shor anisko yechia. So they say, well, we can contradict you based on the chelev of the shor anisko. Being chaylev, a person is chayv koris for eating it, and being from a shor haniskol, it's also ba'achila anyway, because it's chaylev, it's also ba'hanah being from a shor haniskol, the ain toin sreifa, and still it doesn't require sreifa, so therefore you see. And actually Tosfos asks, why taka don't we say maybe indeed the chaylev of a shor haniskol should require sreifa, maybe the same mamatzinu should tell us it is? The answer is because after all, it's different than noiser, there's no issur of bal tesiru, there's no issur. By noiser, there's an issur of leaving over from the korban until the morning and making it noiser. Here, there's no issur to leave over the chelav of the shor haniskol, so it's not completely similar to noiser. Therefore, there's no reason to say that we should have to burn it. Okay, so we'll stop over here and we'll continue. We'll continue next time. The Gemara is going to continue on Chof Chesam and Aleph that Rabbi Yehuda is going to bring in this matter of balte siru and try to prove it from that. No, so it's not to prove that the chelav of a shor haniskol has to be burned, but rather to prove that chometz has to be burned. Ultimately, he's trying to prove it from noiser. So far, the chachamim are telling him it's not a valid proof from noiser because you see that there were other. So he has not. Sort of start over again. He has to bring another way in which chometz and noiser are similar, but chelav of shor haniskol is not. And that'll take us tomorrow, Beis Hashem.